The Crossfield Award is looking for a few good teachers. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into today's Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I have the privilege and pleasure of talking today to Sally Crossfield Farley. Scott Crossfield's accident is well documented on Aero News. What we're here to talk about today is one of Scott's passions in life, which was the Scott Crossfield Aerospace Education Teacher of the Year Award. It's currently administered by the National Aviation Hall of Fame, but it was originated and funded by Scott Crossfield back in 1986, and today Sally has taken it over. Sally, thanks so much for joining us today. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let me start out by asking you if you had a sense when you were growing up of the scope and immensity and importance of the things your dad was involved in.
Well, that's the easy one. No, absolutely not, actually. I wasn't born until 57, so some of this happened before I was born. And then after that, he made it a point not to let any of this affect our lives whatsoever. So we were pretty much kept out of the loop. Clearly, the obvious we knew about. But beyond that, he really kept his aviation and his personal life separate. Both my mom and dad made that real clear in their lives that they didn't want that to affect us whatsoever. So, no, he never brought it home with him, actually.
Looking back now, and knowing what you know now, looking back on his biography and history, do you wish he had brought more of it home?
You know, I do. I'm kind of embarrassed, you know, over the last 2 years, how much I've learned about what he did and how little I knew, because we never talked about any of this. We talked about family life. We talked about, you know, my kids and or, you know, me getting in trouble growing up, that kind of stuff. We never talked about this. I didn't know about this teacher award until after that April. So I wish I did, because I've really learned a lot about the kind of man he was and the kind of man you all know versus who I knew. And it's, you know, I'm really quite proud of him, based on more that I've learned since this April, that April, than I knew beforehand. I mean, I loved him, clearly, but I have learned so much. It's been such an experience, such a long walk this last 2 years.
Now, if I understand correctly, you are one of six children?
One of six. I'm fifth in line of six.
Did any of your siblings wind up in an aviation-related pursuit in their lives?
No, isn't that odd? No, none of us have, actually. I took flying lessons briefly, but I have three sons of my own, and that's just not something I could manage to do. I still consider it from time to time, but my youngest is now 18, so I don't know.
You said, I think in one of your statements, that your brothers enjoyed going to Oshkosh.
Oshkosh, the air venture at Oshkosh is one of Dad's favorite things to go to. And my brother Paul would often go, his son Ryan would often go, my brother Tony would go. In fact, Tony is in the background in the picture that's often shown of my dad. He has a yellow jacket on. He would go. I don't know if my brother Tom would go. I know Robert also went. In fact, Robert and Paul are the ones who gave my father's collier to EAA so they could keep it for him.
So in at least in some ways, your family was aware of the very high esteem in which the rest of the aviation community held your dad.
Well, certainly. I mean, as I got older, it was pretty clear. But, you know, you were asking originally, if, as I was growing up, did I know about it?
Mm-hmm.
I knew when I was little, I would see him on television. And when I went to elementary school, I'd hear the sonic booms, and I knew my dad was at work. So, you know, and I thought that was great. And like, the X-15 is like a family member to me. But, see, those things were normal, so I didn't think of it as this was an unusual thing, or that was anything out of the normal. It was just what my dad did for work. He never made it like this was such a big deal, or don't think highly of me, or anything like that. You know, when I read about some of the things people wrote about him afterwards, you know, humble man and so on and so forth, that's really exactly what he was like. He did all these things, but he never came home and you know, walked around like he was this big shot. He never acted like that. He would sometimes, you know, come and visit or talk to us about it, but the same way, you know, the stories I would listen to other people talk about, he would tell us about it, but he would tell us about it like he was talking about making coffee. You know, he just, something he did, he was very proud of it, it was clear, and he knew exactly what he was doing, but it wasn't like he thought of himself as better than anybody. You know, he was very proud of what he did, and it's just what he did.
All right, let's talk about the award. That came about in 1986. How did public school teachers influence your dad's life and get him started on the path that would lead him to become the guy he was?
When he was very small, he was sick and wasn't able to do very much of anything at all. And apparently it was teachers that got him, encouraged him, and enabled him to do the things that he really wanted to do. And apparently in his mind, he learned through them that it was only his mind that could limit him. And mm-hmm. They instilled in him that it was within him to do anything he could possibly do. And it wasn't his body, it wasn't his limitations. And apparently when he was little, his body was weak and sick. And so with the teacher's influences in his life, that was what he believes led him to do what he did. And so they really influenced him, and he never forgot that.
It's kind of interesting in retrospect to look back and see that he eventually pursued a course in his life that is known as one of the more demanding things you can do to your body.
Well, they told him he'd never fly.
Right.
And them telling them that, him that, and at the same time having teachers and at the same period in his life letting him know that, you know, you can do anything you want to do. That's what struck him as like the paradox. One source in his life telling him he's not going to do something, and another source telling him you can do anything you want to do. And I think, you know, that made all the difference in the world to him, and he's never forgotten that.
I want to talk to you more about the award in particular and what's involved in it and who can nominate someone and how that goes. We're talking today with Sally Crossfield Farley. We'll be back in a moment with more on the Aero News Special Feature.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to today's Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, and I'm talking with Sally Crossfield Farley, who is the daughter of the late Scott Crossfield, who is one of the most famous test pilots in history. And more importantly, in this context, we're talking about the A. Scott Crossfield Aerospace Education Teacher of the Year Award. Now, Sally, this was run, I guess, by your dad directly for the remaining years of his life after he founded it in 1986. And when your dad passed away, you folks decided that it would be best administered by the National Aviation Hall of Fame. Tell me how that transition went.
One of the reasons he went to Alabama that sad weekend was because he had meetings with the Civil Air Patrol, who ran NCASE, which is the national, now called Conference of Aviation and Space Education.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be an annual conference, but it was turning into a biannual conference. And the Civil Air Patrol was no longer going to host it, which is what this award was initially for those the previous 20 years had been under.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not happy about that because he knew that if this award became, well, one, if the conference became a biannual thing, which it has become, and if this award became a biannual thing, it would lose its luster.
It would fall from public awareness.
Well, that and, you know, the momentum it had gathered by being at a yearly thing. And he apparently was quite unhappy when he came out of those meetings, and I guess he didn't win the battle in that respect. So one of my first, how I became aware of the award is I found the five nominations he had chosen on his desk. He had narrowed it down to five, and mm-hmm. they were sitting on his desk in his office. And then I had been contacted, I believe, by Judy Rice, who was running the and still runs NCASE. And from there, we just sort of took it up and ran with it. We were able to select our winner that year. And then after that, Joe Kittinger kind of stepped in, and he got in contact with the National Aviation Hall of Fame and then got in contact with me. And he was also friends with another one of our winners, and National Aviation Hall of Fame, after they contacted me, they were just fabulous. They really wanted to help out with this, and so that's how we ended up there, because they took us under their wings and decided that we would be a fabulous place for them, and after looking into it, they really have been.
One of the reasons we're talking today is the fact that this year in particular, there have not been as many nominations forthcoming. Perhaps it has something to do with the award changing to a different body, which is administrating it, that sort of thing. But let our listeners know, because I know there have to be people out there who know of a teacher who would qualify for this award. Tell us what the criteria are and what the nominating process is.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think a lot of the teachers still associate it with NCASE, mm-hmm. and so they're not thinking of it in terms of being with the National Aviation Hall of Fame. Now, we did send out a press release through the National Aviation Hall of Fame back in January, but I'm not sure who that gets to and how that information is being released. We did not have a problem last year, but I don't know what the difference is this year. I think they might have cut back the time frame on it this year, so I'm not sure. We may have to extend it. However, it's for current teachers, kindergarten through 12th grade. They can be private, parochial, public schools. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be for something they've done in this current year. It can be something they've done previously. But it's for achievements in math, science, aviation, something like that, something related. They can get the nomination forms at the National Aviation Hall of Fame site, which is nationalaviation.org.
Okay.
And right currently, the nominations are open until May 1st. We do have some, but we would like a larger selection because we had many last year, and I'm surprised that they haven't resubmitted, because generally that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we didn't make that clear that they can do it again, because it was such a difficult selection last year. I really would like to have another shot at some of these people who were nominated last year. Anyone can nominate them. They can nominate themselves, or somebody else can nominate them. And the format in which they need to nominate themselves is all clear on the forms themselves, is how they have to do it and so on. And we don't have a specific format. There's certain criteria and everything, but the format itself, we kind of like to let them do what they want to do, because it kind of shows you, too, the person they are.
We will also have a link from any place that people have found this interview, which will take people to the website, and if we can, we'll take them to the specific page where they can find out information on the award and the nomination process. Would it be safe to say that in a perfect world, you'd like to look for someone who represented the kind of teachers that inspired your dad as a kid?
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty safe to say. Absolutely.
Well, Sally, I want to thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us today. We wish you great success in getting some more nominations in for the award, and we hope you'll stay in touch with us and let us know ahead of time next year how it's going, and maybe we can get the word out again.
Yes, and thank you so much. I absolutely will do that, and I just want to keep in mind, too, that this is given out on the enshrinement weekend, so they spend that weekend with aviation legends, and, you know, the new enshrinees, and it's really a fabulous event. So it's something else to keep in mind, too.
I saw mentioned in your comments, too, before we started the interview, that you have never been to Oshkosh, but you want to go someday to see what it was your dad loved so much about it. Let me take this opportunity to invite you to stop by the place where we're working on Aeronews at Oshkosh anytime you want to, and we'll be happy to put you in a golf cart and take you on a tour.
I love tours and golf carts. That'd be great.
All right, Sally, thanks very much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Again, you can find out more about the award at nationalaviation.org. My guest has been Sally Crossfield Farley, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.